Good morning and welcome to our services this morning. It's good to see everyone. It's good to see visitors among us as well. And we definitely appreciate your presence and we welcome you back at each and every opportunity that we have here at O'Neill for you to come and to worship with us. And as Brother Tommy said, if you missed last week, you missed a treat. Had some fine lessons, definitely helped build me up, and I know it would have helped build you up. So if you weren't able to come, get you a CD of it and listen to some of those, and it will definitely be beneficial to you. For the month of March, we have a series called Looking to Jesus, and here are some of the topics that are going to be preached this month, so just kind of give you a second to look over those. And as we have five Sundays, all of us, all of the rotating preachers and Brother Guy will be preaching this month, so Al and Matt will be preaching as well at the end of the month on the fifth Sunday, so make sure we all come back. Invite someone to come back and to listen to some of the lessons that we're going to be preaching this month here at O'Neill. This morning, we're going to be talking about by what authority, talking about authority, and as Brother Chris read this morning, I appreciate that, and looking back at that, we'll start there this morning. So, when he was come to the temple, and the chief priests, the elders, they come to him, and they want to know what authority that he's preaching. They're asking Jesus, you know, what authority do you have? What, you know, who gave you this authority to be preaching these things that you're preaching? And of course, Jesus tells them, well, you know, I'll tell you the answer to it if you will answer me a question. And so he asked them a question and says, you know, well, the baptism of John, where does it come from? And so he's, you know, letting them think about that. And as they start thinking about, well, if we say, you know, if we say it's from heaven, then, you know, he's going to say, well, why didn't you believe it? But if I say it's from men, then the crowd is going to get a hold of us because they, you know, they treated John as a prophet and he was highly respected. And so they conclude that, you know, well, we just can't tell you. Well, then Jesus says, well, I can't tell you then about what authority that I'm doing these things. And Jesus didn't have to say by what authority he did those things. He proved in his actions and in his words by what authority that he did those things. So many times we too, we're asked questions. And maybe we're asked the same question, by what authority do you do this? Sometimes we ask the questions, well, what authority do you have to do this, whether it's, you know, things in life or whether it's things that we do in regards to the church. And so we have to be ready to answer. We have to be ready to have an answer, and definitely an answer of the hope that's in us. And we want to be able to present those things to others. And hopefully when we're having Bible discussions with others, that they'll be able to, you know, give us some answers too. And, you know, do we give our opinion when we give that answer? Do we, you know, well, that's what we've always done. Do we search the Scriptures? And do we back up what we do? And that's what we want to look at tonight, this morning, because in Colossians 3, verse 17, he says, whatever you do in word and deed, he said, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we do, it needs to be done in the name of Jesus. And so as we look to Jesus, the one who gives authority, and a fitting topic of this month is looking to Jesus. As we look to Him and to see the authority of the things that He did while He was on this earth, let's look at what Jesus said. Let's look at what He did whenever He talked, and when He taught others. What did Jesus say? When we look in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. What is He saying? I'm coming. I came to do the will of the one that sent me. Did Jesus say I'm coming with my own agenda? Did He say I'm coming with my own opinions? That's not what He said. He said, I'm coming to do the will of Him that sent me to finish His work. So Jesus is going, giving it back to God here. And we see that again in chapter 5. Look at verse 19. Jesus answered them. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also does the Son likewise. Again, what is He saying? I can't do. It's not my authority that I'm doing these things. What you're seeing me do is what the Father has told me to do. And that's what I'm going to do, He says. Again, in verse 30 of chapter 5, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, he says, but I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. Again, he's telling them, by what authority? It's not my authority. It's the one that sent me. It's not my will that I'm doing here. It's God's will that I'm doing. Again, in verse 36, he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John. You know, they just in the verses that we just read just a few moments ago, you know, when he says the baptism, you know, the baptism of John, where did it come from? Well, here again, he's saying they John is someone they think of as held in high regard. But Jesus says, I have a greater witness, someone more important than John. And what does he say? For the works which the Father hath given to me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Again, he's saying, what authority are you doing this? I'm doing it by the authority that's been given to me by the Father, not something that I'm doing my own self. Again, in chapter 6, verse 38, he says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Again, in chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus answered, he said, my doctrine is not mine. He says, but it's his that sent me. When we look to Jesus and we look to his example, the authority that he did the things he did, it wasn't his agenda. It was the agenda of his Father that he was coming here to carry out. We see in chapter 8 again, it says, Jesus again, they're asking, well, who are you? And he says, well, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Again, they're asking, who are you? He's like, I've told you who I am. From the very beginning, I've told you who I am. He goes on in verse 28 and he says, well, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, when you have lifted the Son of Man up, then you're going to know who I am. Then you're going to know I am who I said I was. That I can do nothing of myself, but the Father has taught me. I speak those things. What I'm telling you is what the Father has told me to say. He didn't add to that. He didn't take away from that. He said exactly what the Father told him to say. He says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. What is he saying? By what authority do you do these things, Jesus? I'm doing it by the one who sent me. I do those things to please him. Again, he says in chapter 12, I've not spoken of myself, he says, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak thereof, he says, I speak as the Father sent unto me, so I speak. So what I'm telling you are the words that were spoken to me. And these words are as if the Father is giving it to you because I have told you these things. He told me these things. I'm repeating these things. And so as we look in chapter 14 of John, again, in verse 8, he says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Again, what is he saying? It's not me. It's the Father that's in me. It's his words that are in me that I'm speaking, that I'm sharing with you. So by what authority do you do these things? Jesus always gives the authority back to where it came from. He gives it back to God the Father. We see this again when we look in and we see a little bit of a transition when we go after his resurrection, after the resurrection of Jesus. The 11 apostles, they go to Galilee. They go to that mountain where Jesus has told them to go. And when they saw Jesus, they begin worshiping him. And so then now he gives them instructions. He gives them instructions. He starts explaining his authority now. He says that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He says now the power has been given to me in heaven and in earth, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to teach all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want you to teach them the things, to observe all the things, whatever it was that I commanded you. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So this whole time, Jesus has been telling them, and as we look through John, he would say, I'm telling you what God has told me to say. And now he's telling them, the power has been given to me, and this is what I want you to do. And I want you to go and I want you to share everything that I have commanded you to do. I want you to deserve all those things that I've told you. I want you to share those things. I want you to do those things. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he listen to the Father? Why do we listen to Jesus? Why do we do the things that he tells us to do? Because you see, when we follow the commands, Jesus explained it there in chapter 14, verse 31 of John. He says, the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, that's I did it. Arise, let us go hence. I did it. I did the commands of the Father because it showed that I love him. When we follow Jesus' commands, when we keep his commands, what does it show about us? It shows that we love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Because if you keep his commandments, what do? You love him. And if you love him, you're going to love the one that sent him. So we look and we see that as we're looking at following authority and following that authority that Jesus has, we see in John 8, 30 through 32, and he says he spake and many believed on him, and there was those that believed on him, and he said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if you could keep my commandments, then you're what? You're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So as we do his will, as we keep his commandments, it shows that we love him. It shows that we love his authority. It shows that we love the Father. It shows that we are his disciples. They can look at you. They can look at me. And say, you know what? That's someone that loves God. That's someone who believes in God. That's someone who is doing his will. That, you know what? That's someone who is his disciple. When we follow after him, when we follow after truth, we know that Jesus is truth. We know from John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in order for us to get to the Father, we've got to go through the truth. We've got to go through Jesus. See, when we follow his authority, when we follow that authority of God, look what he says here in John 7. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If you do his will, you're going to know it. You're going to know who I am. You're going to know that I'm saying who I said I am. He that speaks of himself, that seeks his own glory. Did Jesus, in all those verses that we went through, did he ever say, I did it, I did it? Never does he do that. But he that seeks the glory that sent him, the same is true, he says, and no unrighteousness is in him. The same is true. Jesus didn't seek his glory. He sought the glory of his Father. He sought to do the will of his Father. What was Jesus' will here on this earth? What did he will to do? The Son of Man, he came to do what? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his will. That was the will. That was the reason that he sent, that God loved him so much that he sent him. He sent him here so that we should not perish, but we should have everlasting life. And that's what his will was. But as we see his will, sometimes we get questioned. By what authority do you do this? Who gave you that authority? And as Peter says it best sometimes, he says it here, because they were asking him, do you not straightly... they had told Peter, they had told him, you don't preach in this name Jesus. You don't talk about Jesus. We don't want to hear him. You're stirring up the city. We told you not to do this. But Peter knew the will of the Father was to do the will of the Son. And so he knew we ought to obey God rather than man. But as man has it sometimes, what do? Sometimes we do what we think. We do what our opinion is. And as we look through some examples here, how well did that go for these people? When they thought to go against the commands of God, what happened? As we look here in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, a very familiar story of Nadab and Abihu. We see here that they took the censer, they put fire in, they made this incense, they offered this strange fire before God. And if you notice there in verse 1 at the very end, it says, which he commanded them not. What authority in Nadab and Abihu are you doing this? It wasn't by the authority of God. How well did that work out for you? It says in there, there went out fire from the Lord, devoured them, and they died before the Lord. There's consequences to not doing what God commands. We see the instructions here of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10 when he's told to go to Gilgal. He's told, we're going to have some burnt offerings, but you wait 7 days. But as we see, as we go on, and as he is in Gilgal, Saul, he becomes impatient. And what happens? He offers a sacrifice. And when you get there, what are you doing? What have you done? Well, I didn't think you were going to make it in time, so I went ahead and did it. Well, what was he told? The kingdom is going to be removed from you. And all he had to do was wait. He had waited all those days. Why not just wait until the sun hadn't went down yet? But again, he thought what he should do, but that was not what he was told to do. We have another individual here, Uzzah. Here we have in First Chronicles chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, it's Uzzah, as you know, that they're transporting the Ark of the Covenant, and it starts shaking as it's going to fall, and he just reaches up to kind of steady it. And what happens? Just like that. Dead. Because he didn't listen to the command of God. Now, as we see a few chapters later, David becomes pretty upset about it. He gets angry about this. But then, look what he says in chapter 15, verse 2. David says, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto them unto him forever. They had been given a command to do something, how it was supposed to be transported, and they decided, let's get it here a different way. Well, that's not what God wanted, and they were punished. Here we have in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 32. He says, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord. These people that are prophesying false dreams, they're telling them, they're causing the people to believe lies. And it says, I sent them not, nor commanded them. I didn't send them. I didn't tell them to tell these things. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. And what happened to these individuals? If you read on, punishment is brought upon their house because of that. Matthew 15, verse 14. Let them alone. What did Jesus say? Let them alone. But they'll be the blind leaders of the blind, and the blind lead the blind. Both shall fall in the ditch. Sometimes people go off, and they're going to do things. They're going to convince other people to do things that there's no authority for it. Jesus said that's like the blind leading the blind, and what's going to happen to both of them? There's going to be a fall that comes upon them. So when we are following man, we need to make sure that we're not doing that. We're not following him. Well, here we have again in Acts chapter 15, you have they said, these people need to be circumcised or you can't be saved. And they thought they sent Paul and Barnabas. And when you go to chapter verse 24, he says, for as much as we've heard that certain which went out among us troubled you from the word, subverting your souls, he says, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. That wasn't commanded you to do that. You're teaching things that you shouldn't be teaching. By what authority are you doing? By what authority do we do what we do? We need to be following after Christ. Just like he followed after his father. Like he followed after our father. We need to follow after him. 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, he says, you both had the Father and the Son. So if you are not abiding in the teaching of Christ, you don't have God. But if you are, you have both the Son and the Father. And that's what I think we all want. We want to have the Son and the Father because you can't have one without the other. So how do I do that? That makes me, that makes you, should be studious in the Word. We should be studying that word daily. We should be studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we need to have. We need to have this word, rightly dividing it. studying it, to make sure that what is being said, that we're doing His will, not our will, but we're doing His will. We look, and this is the New Living Translation, in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, remember our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Speaking of these things in all his letters, some of the comments are hard to understand. And those who are ignorant and unstable, they've twisted his letters to mean something quite different. They weren't rightly dividing things that were being said. They're twisting the things that were said. And just as they do other parts of the Scriptures, and this will end, result in their destruction. We cannot twist what God has already said. God says a lot. Nobody says it better than God, so we don't just make up what we want to do. We listen to God through the Scriptures, and we do what He wants us to do. No wonder Paul told in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, he said, you hold fast that form of sound words which you heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You hold on to the pattern. You hold on to those sound words. You hold on to that sound doctrine that was delivered through Christ, because it's in Him that we have the authority to do the things that we do. Now, as we are studying the Word and we are rightly dividing the Word, we need to look at and try to establish some authority. Looking at those direct commands, those specific statements that instruct us to do something, that prohibit us from doing something. You know, when we talk about direct commands, that, you know, we definitely think about Ten Commandments, don't we? Thou shalt not. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. That's a direct command. They listen to it. These are just a very, very few things that I included on the direct command list, but just to kind of give you an idea. A direct command of Colossians 3:19, we're talking, lie not one to another. Don't lie. Be truthful. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. What is he saying? Put on God. Put on His likeness. Put on, forgive those because God has forgiven you. That's a command. It's asking you, do you want to forgive somebody? If you want to be forgiven, we're going to forgive others. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're to teach. We're to admonish. We do that through our singing. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, you have a list of things. He says, if you do these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want to go to hell, then you will just start checking those things. Let me do this. You know, he mentions those: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, such like. Those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 7, he talks about adding to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity or love. You add to those things. When we become a Christian, we're not supposed to be a babe all our life. We're supposed to grow. That's what He wants us to do. And those are things that's a part of that authority that we are established as we read and as we study. We can see by approved examples that are God approved, the things that the apostles did, and we see here as Jesus, as he's after He's washed the feet of the disciples, he left an example. He left an example for them in John 13:15. He told them, he says, for I've given you an example to do these things. You be a servant. You serve. We have an approved example as here we are. We've gathered on the first day of the week. They've prepared the Lord's Supper here. Why? Because on the first day of the week in Acts 20 and verse 7, the disciples came together to break bread. That here it is. Also, after the Lord's Supper, they'll hand out the trays and they'll take up a collect for those who want to get, lay by and store as they've been prospered. Why do we do that? 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. There was an example of when the saints came together, that's what they did. They made a collection. So we have direct commands. We have approved examples. We also have what we call necessary inference. That's when you have to reach a conclusion, an unavoidable conclusion based on the facts that are considered. And as we see this when we see Nicodemus inferring. In John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.'" He inferred, based on what he saw, that there is no other explanation. The unavoidable conclusion was that, "Jesus, you are from God." We see this as Jesus talking on divorce, and he says this, and they're asking him, "Is it lawful to put away his wife for every cause?" And Jesus doesn't say yes, and he doesn't say no. But we can infer what he means, because he goes on and says, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Did he think he answered that question? It wasn't yes or no, but do you think they inferred that they can't just be putting them away for any reason? You better believe it. In Acts chapter 8, we see the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading. He don't understand what he's reading. But they come to some water. He says, "You know, what's hindering me from being baptized?" Well, did he ever say in that scripture that he preached to him about baptism? No, it says he preached to him about Jesus. But we have to infer that he was also talking about baptism, because why would he else have said, "Here is water, what's hindering me from being baptized?" So as we establish authority, we have direct commands. We have to make sure that we're looking at the context of it. We have proved examples of first century Christians, their activity that was approved. We have that logical, unavoidable conclusions. And like I said, that applies to what we do here, but also applies to other aspects of our life. You know, when we break down kind of the Lord's Supper, looking at it, you know, that we're supposed to take the bread and take the cup, the fruit of the vine. Those are direct things that we're supposed to do. The proved example in Acts 20, verse 7, was on the first day of the week. Well, the necessary inference is every first day. Why? Well, when you look at Exodus 20, verse 10, they are to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How many Sabbaths a day do they keep holy? Every one of them. How many first day of the weeks do we have? How many upon the first day of the week? When do we do it? Every first day of the week. Even we just talked a little bit about becoming a Christian, and their direct command was, you go teach and you baptize. A proved example, we have Philip. We just read about it. Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Well, where do you go? You got to go to a water that's large enough for them to do what? To be immersed, to be buried in. Because, well, and what is it? Could a baptistry be used? Can you immerse somebody in the baptistry? Well, sure you can. They can go all the way under. So as becoming a Christian and thinking about authority, again, why did Jesus do what he did? To show that he loved the Father, and also because he wanted to please the Father. And that's what we have to do. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, one that's holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We want to be acceptable to him. We don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. To prove what? To prove me? No, we're proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, just like the Son did. Remember what we said at the beginning? Whatever you do in word and deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's what we have to do. And in order to get to the Father, we have to go through Jesus, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we do what He tells us to do, there's a reward for obedience. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you today diligently seeking to do the will of the Father? Are you diligently trying to do everything that He wants you to do in your life? Paul could say, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before." What did he do? He pressed. He pressed toward what? The mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're pressing toward that prize. That prize comes from that obedient faithfulness to the Lord. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a Christian? Have you heard the Word? You hear the Word. You believe it. Because if you don't believe it, He says, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. You're going to repent and be baptized, washing away those sins, confessing the sweetest name on mortal tongue, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Are you a Christian this morning, but you've fallen away? The authority. Go to the one who has the authority to wash it all away. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come?